than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Let's say one thing about the Ravens, guys. They like to keep it entertaining, don't they? They like to give us a full 60-minute game. They don't like us to rest as fans or be able to use our seats that we paid for. Joining me, as always, talk about the live experience, everything that happened on this Ravens-Eagles game. Josh Murr, what's going on, man?
Dude, they love it, man. It's cardiac hacks, you call them. But I tell you what, we get our money's worth out of our tickets. We squeeze everything out we can. I love it.
We absolutely do. And let me tell you, after halftime, I thought we were going to see Ryan Mallett, you know, finish out this game. I was very confident.
Crab Mallett sighting?
I thought we were going to have Ryan the Crab Mallett back on the field for a fourth time this year. But, you know, I don't know what happened. I don't know where the breakdown was. I was very confident we were going to win this game. Joe throws that pick towards the end, and I thought the whole world was going to come crashing down. I didn't know if the Ravens were going to be able to get out of here with a win or not. Thankfully, they did, but Josh, all around, like, what was the mood at the stadium like? Because this was a game that, you know, it felt like, you know, we were at the highest of highs, and we just came crashing down at the end.
Bro, let me say this. I didn't see the final play. I had to watch it on TV. Yeah, because I couldn't. I had my head down, and then right at the last minute, I picked it up, and I saw the ball tipped, and because I thought they were running it. I mean, you have to be honest with you, man. The way they were gashing it, I'm like, dude, they're going to line up. They're going to smash it right in there with the running back, and ain't nothing we can do about it, and our season just went poof, bye. No playoffs, no nothing, off season, next two games don't matter. Look up, next thing I know, ball's on the ground, defense celebrating, no flags, ball drill. What an epic play. All that Lidge play. I love the play call there. Epic finish. From a football game standpoint, man, this had everything. Drama, game swings, elite changes, defense, turnovers, big plays. There's a lot going on here. We're definitely going to get it going in the Red Eye review. But, dude, the Ravens dramatically pulled out this win. But at the end of the day, again, our old buddy Vin Diesel's character, Dominic Toretto, always bring this up. Winning's winning. Not even by an inch or a mile. It doesn't matter. Winning's winning no matter what. I'll take it any way we can. Because at the end of the day, man, I don't know about you, but what happens here is it's essentially was a playoff game. We won by the slimmest of margins. 1 point. I don't care. We can slice this up anyway. We can dissect it. Good plays, bad plays, ugly plays, awesome plays. End of the day, the only play that matters is 27 points and 26 for the Eagles. We were 1 point better at the end of the day. Let's move on to Pittsburgh. Not saying that at the end of the show, guys, have a great night, but essentially, you couldn't really do that because basically you got to survive at this point. Win or go home, even in season, and we made it tougher as we talked about last week. And step number one, they got away with this one. And I work with a lot of Eagles fans. I told you this, man. And I heard a lot of chatter, and we'll get to some fan reactions and breakdowns. But basically, my take on this was, it was early Christmas gift exchange. The Ravens said, oh, here you go, Philadelphia. Merry Christmas. Here's a gift. And instead, you know what the Eagles did? They gift-wrapped the same gift and said, oh, Baltimore, no, here you go. You take it. Merry Christmas. And they gave it right back to us. I think that's what was going on there.
You know, that actually has happened to me before.
has it.
I gave these three little picture frames to a friend of mine for Christmas once, and it was like Frosty, Santa, and I think like an ornament or something. And sure enough, the very next year, I get them returned to me. And she goes, oh, yeah, I thought you really liked these. You could put a picture of you in one and your dog in another and this, that, whatever, in the third one. And, yeah, I think you'd really enjoy these. And I'm like, man, do these look familiar. I think – I'm pretty sure I gave you these last year. It was
karma. There you go. You got some Christmas gift karma coming back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, so the Ravens and the Eagles, this was a game that I definitely – I felt good about. The Eagles, like I said the last show that we did previewing them, that, you know, they had a great beginning of the year, but they fizzled out since then. I think they went for the 2 points because, really, the next couple games for them doesn't matter. They're not making the playoffs. They were like, look, let's just go for it and see what we can do. So thankfully it worked out for us. But let's go back to that Joe Flacco interception. John Harbaugh has already come out saying maybe he's gotten a little greedy with that call. It shouldn't have been a pass. He's taking the blame. But what's your stance on this? Whose fault is this? Is this a coaching fault decision? Is this a Joe Flacco mistake? Is it a whole team mistake? What is your thought on this interception?
Well, it's a cumulative of that. I'm going to say it wasn't Harbaugh's decision, because if he's coming out saying worst call ever, he was quoted by saying, all-time worst call ever, I take responsibility for it, end quote. That's John Harbaugh. He was even saying that he should have vetoed it. He gave in the reins free to Marty to call his game as he fit. Harbaugh puts his footprint on it and his 2 cents in where needed. I said, like, maybe going for it on fourth down, doing this, doing that, kicking his field goal. But at the end of the day, it's Harbaugh's team. He's the head coach. He's not a coordinator. So at the end of the day, it falls on his shoulders, the team's responsibility. And this brings up a discussion, which is really great. I really want to get into here is, how much authority do you think Harbaugh has on the sidelines? What goes on during game days? And does he have the authority in game to go, hey, this ain't flying, we're going to run it my way or the highway? What's your take on that? Do you think Harbaugh has control?
From what I understand, listening to past players talk about John Harbaugh, is that he isn't the smartest guy on the sideline. That's, I think, what Dominic Foxworth said about him in an interview recently, that he's not the smartest guy on the sideline, but the thing that makes him great is that he knows he's not the smartest guy on the sideline. So he's a little humble. He'll listen to what the players have to say. He'll take that into consideration. But like you said, ultimately, he's the head coach. It comes down to whether or not he thinks it's the right call or not. So I think...
So he's the player's coach.
Yes. Basically. Yeah. But that's why he's surrounding himself with guys that he trusts. I think that's why he wanted Marty instead of Mark Trestman to be his offensive coordinator, because him and Marty Morningweg have a history. They've coached together before. So for him to have a guy like that, it's a guy that he trusts. It's a guy that he knows he can count on. But ultimately, he listens to what people have to say, but it's his call about whether or not it's the right call or not. So was it Marty's call to make a pass, and then Harbaugh, like, did that call to make a pass get through, you know, three people or something? You know, then you definitely have to talk about why everyone thought that was the best idea, given the fact that the running game looked great this past game, and this is the most they've used the running game. Why take a pass at that point? But ultimately, it comes down to Harbaugh. It was his choice. He listened to the people that were telling him stuff, and he's the one that that went for it.
Ultimately, yeah. And I don't know if you heard Mike Wallace's comments after the game, but he's basically said, damned if you do, damned if you don't. How many times have we talked about this, especially back in the Raiders game where the whole gutsy fourth down call, this and that, like Mike Wallace echoed in our feelings. If it had worked and we'd have converted a first down there or even got a touchdown, we'd be going – me and you be going, hey, dude, that was a great play, man. We put it to him. We went up 17 points. We iced the game. What a play call, and high-fiving each other. But because it led to a pick and ultimately almost our demise, we're going to sit here and criticize it. At the end of the day, I've always said, matters as a scoreboard at this point. Wins and losses tally up and get us in the playoffs at this point. We need to win. But I'm not even going to put the onus on. Yeah, I don't know if Flacco saw. Seeing it live, seeing it there, I really couldn't believe, like, we were just done celebrating. I just literally just sat right back down in my seat. about to watch the offense go to work. Next thing I know, I was like, is the Eagles defender really carrying the ball towards us? Because it came towards our end. And I'm like, what? I looked at like my friend Jen, like I saw a ghost. I was like, what just happened? And then, of course, they kicked the field goal. And I'm like, okay, we're up 7. We get the ball. Let's just grind it out and win by 7. Go home happy and healthy, blah, blah. No, it's okay. Now the Eagles got the ball back and they're driving. And then they really scored. And then we're like, what just happened? I literally just looked at my friend and was just like, everybody around me, season ticket holders, and I'm like, literally, we're gonna put up 3 scores. Game over. Bye. See you later. And next thing I know, there's an Eagles fan in front of me jumping up and down because Carson Wentz just went in the end zone and they're 1 point down. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So, yeah, the tables have turned, but I'm not even going to focus on the interception. What should have happened, and it even got to that point, the Ravens should have used the running game and used the play calling and playmakers' abilities and grinded the clock down. Eagles kick the field goal. The Ravens get it back just over the 2-minute warning. The Eagles have all 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. They used their 2-minute warning, didn't even take a single timeout. But the Ravens, Brandon, instead of here getting a first down, which they should have done, they run it on first down at that 2-minute warning. They pass it. What I think is what happened is the sequence, if I can remember, was all blur, but basically the 2-minute warning came, the Ravens ran a play, timeout. Ravens ran a play, timeout. So here they are, the Ravens, and they passed it one of those down, so it stopped the clock. So basically they didn't get a first down. They gave the Eagles the ball back with 1 timeout in their pocket, and essentially I think just about like a minute 20. Instead of getting a first down and pretty much ending the game or even giving the Eagles like 20 seconds, I really have to go back at that sequence and understand the Eagles had 1 timeout. There's 40 seconds on the play clock. The Ravens could have taken that down, called their own timeouts. Who knows what it could happen? Maybe they ran the clock out, but if you don't have that killer instinct and that offense that moved the ball in that first drive after taking advantage of that turnover and going back, it's just – my whole thing is there's no killer instinct there. We've been talking all the time that Ravens are searching for their identity. Who are they? Basically, they're an imbalanced offense, underachieving offense, and I blasted them on Saturday night in the video. Frankly, we're getting really chippy here because this team is underachieving. They have so much talent. Mike Wallace is frustrated. That's why Steve Smith threw his equipment in practice and went in the corner and pouted. That's why Mike Wallace has been vocal saying, yeah, I'm a little upset, and I heard that he threw his equipment on the sideline after that because – he said, give me the ball. How many times have I screamed in this podcast, give these playmakers the ball? Do I need to keep repeating it? I hate to sound like a broken record, bro, but, you know, Mike Wallace wants the ball. Give him the ball. He was brought here as a free agent for a reason. He was signed here and didn't let go to other teams and interviews because we wanted him to make plays. Well, let's call the plays to get him the ball. What happened when Joe Flacco did a pump fake and threw it to Steve Smith after I was so happy he wasn't hurt on that play he got hurt on? So I thought he hurt his shoulder. He was hanging. I'm like, oh, my God. We just lost Steve Smith again. But no, he's a warrior. He comes out, scores the touchdown. What happens when you put the ball in playmaker's hands? We do something. What happened to Dennis Pitta's career performance against Miami? What happened to, and obviously from the looks of it, we had one of the greatest running games this year. We were gashed. Him. The play call to Dixon's pitch and the 16-yard touchdown was genius. Terrence West had a big hole open up for me. He was dashing. I mean, everybody said runs at the ball streak 30 times, but I mean, yeah, hindsight's 20/20. If it worked, we're praising it. If it doesn't work, we're going, yeah, these guys suck. We need new head coaches and we need new quarterbacks. This is how people are. But at the end of the day, it's a team effort. We got to call the plays, but here's the problem. I feel that we're not using the players properly. I feel like that Joe Flacco shouldn't throw it. And I broke this down, man. Let me tell you this. Tom Brady didn't throw a single touchdown this past weekend, and the Patriots won. And you might not know this, or you might laugh if you hear this, but do you know that Tom Brady, old Thomas Brady up in New England, who's all-time great, we can love to hate him, hate to love him, whatever. Do you know that Joe Flacco's thrown it more this year than Tom Brady?
Really?
Yep. I looked at the stats, more attempts, more – now I'm not saying more yardage or more touchdowns, but more attempts, more play calls for the pass. He's attempted to throw the ball more to Tom Brady. Patriots understand and need to know you run, set up the pass, you run. Run first mentality wins you games. Ultimately, defense wins you games. But on offensive attack, how many times did we scream here 10 years, 12 years ago, give Jamal the ball? Long are the days of ground and pound, grinding out defense. Did you not watch the Cowboys game last night? It's give it, they Ezekiel Elliott was killing him. They gave him the ball, and he got up on one of the after runs after first down, and he did the whole, looks like he was doing the whole thing, feed me, like spoonful to his mouth, feed me, feed the beast. You grind it out. Yeah, we have Dixon and West who aren't brutal bats, but you grind it out. This is the AFC North. The AFC North is about that. You get up, take the lead, you get the ball back late in games, and you grind out the clock. You run it to the ground, and you just keep doing it. Le'Veon Bell ran the Bills, or was it, I think the Bills, no, was it the Bills? Yeah, the Bills in the ground, I believe. I can't remember at this point. It's all over. But that's the whole point I want to make here is I think we should use our players correctly. You know, instead of check down Charlie or you know, screen pass Sally, or I don't know, just use your players correctly. Let those slants are working. Let's get the ball on Steve Smith and slant and go, look how fast he was. Remember how fast he is in some of these plays. That and I'm telling you what, guys, right now, yeah, Joe Flacco made a mistake, Brandon. And I want to hear your thoughts, of course, on the interception and what you thought and breaking that down. But don't forget this. Same quarterback might criticize and throwing that pick and go, what was he looking at? He threw a beautiful, beautiful ball, a pump fake on a zone defense read route right to Steve Smith in the corner of the end zone. Perfect, beautiful ball. I saw it the whole way. It was going to his Joe Flacco was back towards us. He was going away from us in the stadium where our seats are. He pump faked, and I said, there it is. And I stood up, and the ball's in the air, and it went right into Steve's hands. Touchdown. I saw it the whole way. Only Flacco can make that throw. It's Joe Flacco. He can use these things correctly. See the point here? Get the ball in the playmaker's hands. Get the ball down the field. Stop calling. I think Marty Moynihan's underachieving himself in the offense because they're calling the plays in these situations where let's just get – Joe Flacco's a baller. What happened to him saying baller and we're freaking – you know, we're bosses and we're men, not boys in week three or whatever it was after we won. What happened to that? What happened to that fire? I mean, I just feel like we're being undervalued and incorrectly using the offense, and I think that's what's leading to frustration. That's why we're all frustrated around here. And, you know, just leaving those comparisons there, what do you think about that?
Joe, you know, he is I'm trying to think of the best way I can word this. Joe is definitely Joe, and yes, I think Joe is a great quarterback. I am very happy that he is a Baltimore Raven. However, Joe does go through these streaks where he looks brilliant, and then he goes through the same year, and he'll look like he's a rookie for his first time out on the field. Obviously, he knows what he's doing, but, like, look at that Steve Smith pass – Steve Smith catch for a touchdown, but look at the play right before that where he overthrew Steve Smith, you know, by a couple yards. That's what frustrated Steve Smith on the practice field later or earlier this week, that he threw his helmet and had to go sit by himself for a while. Joe is a little bit inconsistent for, you know, that I'm worried about with Joe is that I don't know if you can count on him 100%. And I'm not trying to put him down, not trying to say he's a bad quarterback, but he does have those times where, you know, he's usually great in stressful situations, but there are times where he just makes dumb moves. He gets locked into a target, he stares at that target, and then he just throws the ball and goes for it, and I don't like that part of him. We saw it in the Super Bowl year how great he can be in the playoffs without ever throwing an interception, but games on the line like Philadelphia last week, a couple games earlier this year, he stares at his target. He gives it away. If he was playing poker, you would know what he has underneath his cards. You know, you could go all in against him because you know he had like a pair of twos. He gives that away. He doesn't have the poker face that a lot of quarterbacks have. He locks in on a target, he stays with that target, and he's going to throw it whether or not that target has one guy on him or three guys on him or if the guy's wide open. That's where he goes.
And what's your point here? That's right, but I'm going to have to dissect that and pick apart that, and I'm almost like disagree with you there because yes, he does this and does that, but we shouldn't ask him to be somebody he's not. He's not a Tom Brady. He's not a Peyton Manning. He's not an Aaron Rodgers. He's Joe Flacco. He's got Super Bowl MVP. But what happened to the success? And here's what I'm upset about and just burns me even more. We thrived under Gary Kubiak's offense, and that was Joe Flacco's arguably his best year. And I thought greater things were going to horizon. But what happened? Kubiak for his dream job, and he got Super Bowl out of it, and Peyton Manning rode off in the sunset. We know how that script was written. Now, the Broncos, on the other hand, hanging on to deal for the last spot in the wild card, but that's another story. But I just feel like that with that offensive scheme, we need to get that back. Whatever system that worked, 2012 and 2014, those years right there were the footprint of what success is with Flacco. I'm tired of hearing it, fans that hurt in the stadium. It's, yeah, he made that throw to, it's like hypocrites. Yeah, I was mad when he threw the ball, but I hear guys next to me calling out Flacco. And I'm not getting arguments for Raiders fans that stands about this in debates. I certainly will not. I'm there to watch the game and pay attention, but it's funny how we have hypocrites as fans. And I know we probably have them out there. Maybe we have listeners who do that. Maybe we don't. I don't know. But what I find funny is, and when I call people out on this, is Joe Flacco made a great throw to Steve Smith. You're going to high-five all your buddies. Joe Flacco is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Okay, great. Oh, he's wonderful. But he'll throw the pick, and it's, oh, my God, Flacco sucked. Where's Ryan Mallett warming up? Oh, my God, he's such a bonehead. And then you hear, yeah, he's not perfect. We make mistakes. You know, Peyton Manning threw six picks in a game once before. He's a Hall of Famer. He's had bad games. You know, Drew Brees is criticized this year for having terrible games, but he redeemed himself this past week and threw a four touchdown performance like Flacco did 2 weeks ago. And I mean, it happens. Brady threw zero touchdowns. Joe Flacco threw more. Joe Flacco had a better game statistically than Brady, but he threw the pick, and we're going to zone in on the pick because it nearly cost us the game. Now, if we were up 17-20 points, he threw the pick, and then the Eagles went three and out, we wouldn't be sitting here arguing about the interception or what turned the tide, but apparently that's what happened. I mean, but the Ravens thrive in these close games. I mean, remember the Super Bowl. We go up 28-6. Jacoby Jones returns a touchdown. Oh, it's blowout central. We're celebrating already in the third quarter. Does it start the parade? When's the parade? Nope. Hold on. Lights went out. And next thing you know, Niners are less than a score away from taking the lead. What just happened here? It's 29-24. What happened? So, you know, it's just the Ravens always thrive in that. I don't know why, but they make the games exciting, but they shouldn't. They should call the plays. They put themselves in situations. But even getting away from that in the offense, we need to get back on track quickly. Calling out that, I think it was a great situational play calls. I mean, yeah, there's some drops. Perriman has some drops. But another thing I really want to focus on, which was glaring and moving away from the offense here, is what happened to this run defense that was so great all year? Wow, that was atrocious. Run defense was bad, 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 bad.
Yeah, and this was very surprising given the fact that the defense is ranked so high by the NFL. I think they're the first defense, second maybe in the league. They've shown well this entire year. A lot of the Ravens are saying after the game that the Philadelphia Eagles did their homework. They ran some schemes, and the Ravens kind of fell for them. And
kudos to them. They did it.
They got the work done, and good for them. But the Ravens defense needs to be better than that. You know, there are two games coming up, one this coming Sunday on Christmas Day. That's going to be the most important game of the year so far. And you know, the defense has to be good with that, or has to be better than that. We'll talk about this on the Purple Friday preview, but we know some of the weapons the Steelers have in their running game. And if the Ravens of this game are up against the Steelers next game, then I'm definitely worried about how the Ravens will fare. But we'll talk about that on Friday. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher and all those things. But I agree with you. This running defense, very poor. I don't know what happened with Brandon Williams, Mike Pierce, where they were, what happened. This was – where did let me find the article. It was let me see. So it was 169 rushing yards, including 128 yards and a touchdown from running game Ryan Matthews. So that is – pretty insane for the Ravens to give up that many yards, 169 rushing yards. That's kind of unheard of this season.
When they held Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell to virtually nothing in those games. I mean, yeah, granted, Ezekiel Elliott ran for 97 yards, didn't eclipse the triple digits, and didn't even score. They held Bell in check, too, and beat the Steelers. So it's kind of funny how, well, we held the household names in check, but these guys, I was getting mad, dude. I mean, we already know who Ryan Matthews is. But whoever this other guy was, dude, like every time he would touch the ball and gash us, I'm like slamming my hand on the chair in front of me when the guy kept getting up from his seat because I was like, I was like, dude, stop this guy. I'm like, how can you not? I mean, they cannot pass the ball. The only time that they passed the ball, Zach Ertz killed him. So their tight end, we couldn't cover for some reason. Their receivers were non-existent. So it was basically the running game and their tight end. And Carson, at one point, basically the whole first quarter, he looked like a rookie. He was scared. He threw the pick. He fumbled the ball. I mean, he got scared. He was running. We were actually in the backfield. We had, even though we didn't really have many sacks, we had a lot of hurries. I heard a lot in the announcer saying, so-and-so with the hurry, so-and-so with the hurry. And then they're hurrying him. He got flushed out on a couple key situations where he got rushed and had to throw the ball away. And one of them led to that intentional grounding. I mean, we got back there. We made him look like a rookie. Man, but he made a great play in the game where he spun out of the pressure where we actually had him dead to rights. And apparently just because we had all of our lanes covered, he spun out of it and ran right for the touchdown. So, I mean, it was a great athletic play. Kudos to Carson Wentz. We're going to see more plays years to come in being a rookie this year. But the meaning is we didn't scheme well for that. We didn't adjust at halftime, which was even worse. Okay, I can see in the first half, we need to stop the run. We need to get back to what we do best. We only had Jimmy Smith out. It wasn't like everybody else was out. Doom was there. Suggs was there. Brandon Williams was there. They were all there.
And let me just real quick, I have to do this. Sharice Wright, you had a great game. Got to put that out there. As much crap as we have given him in the past, Sharice Wright did look really great on Sunday.
Dang. That's a great point. Actually, he did have a great pass defense. I give him that. He actually covered it well, and he put his arm out there, batted the ball down, and then he put his finger up and said, no, no, no. And I'm like, is that 24? I was like, wow. I was like, who is that? And I mean, Tavon Young had a great play, held a couple passes in check, and it just sucks that the hold that was and the Eric Weddle interception that was not, because that was an athletic play. But I knew the hold was coming. My friend was like, why aren't you celebrating? I put my hand up like, stop. I said, look, there's flag. She goes, I don't care about the flag. I said, there's a hole because I actually did see it because when the running back went to spring, I thought it was going to be a screen pass to him and ended up being a deep pass. Yeah, that was a blatant hold. They shouldn't have seen him. You can't do that. I mean, again, penalties. And there was another one on the sideline where the running back was well out of bounds and we're out there hitting him for a roughness penalty. I mean, again, the penalties got stopped.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I think that was Zach Orr who committed two penalties back-to-back plays. So he was just giving away yards to the Eagles. And you know, you never want to see that because, yes, the Eagles played well or whatever, but you give them free yardage like that, they're going to take advantage of it.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, you can't. And this happened again when we gave the Cowboys in that game 136 yards of penalties and only lost by 10. If you give a whole team 136 free yards, what are you going to do with that? You're going to score points. But here's another thing in giving away free points. I have to give it to the Ravens. And the Eagles did the same thing. They cashed in. But how key was it to where the Ravens got that interception? Great defensive play. And they went right down the field and threw a touchdown pass to Kamari. And they went right down the field. It was like cashed in. That was great. Open the cash registers, man. It was raining money because that was like, that's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to go there, get the ball, go three and out, and then kick a field goal and let Justin Tucker kick a 40-yard field goal and we're only get three. No, you go down there. The great elite teams in that make a playoff run, when you turn the ball over, you make them score. You make them hurt and go, we just put seven, you boys. Don't turn it over again. So we're going to put another seven on. But when you kick 3 points or no points out of it, the offenses or the opposing offense is like, okay, all right, well, let's turn the ball over because the other team is going to score. So, but then obviously, and we want to definitely touch on this, is Joe Flacco's pocket awareness, which is his weakness, and I will see that. Zero, you got to get the ball out, buddy. And I can see it in the pocket. He gets that, like, just – he can just feel it. It's different than a couple years ago where he was poised in the pocket and felt it and got out of there. But can't fumble the ball there in the red zone. He gave the Eagles an opportunity, and they cashed in with a Ryan Matthews touchdown. It sucked, and then they went for two and got eight. So, I mean, that was a turning point there too because eight of their 26 points came off of that one turnover, and that was horrible. I mean, who knows? The Ravens go down the field and score three there or score seven. Who knows what they do with that possession? But, again, they were deep. They're on territory and they're calling these. It's just, but you got to finish games, man. You got to get first downs. I see other teams do it all the time, who are even worse teams than us. I mean, it's just, it's got to stop. But game plan, yeah, you can't turn the ball over there. And his pocket awareness, he got sacked a few times where it shouldn't have happened. And the one I think Jokic had a field goal range, we had to punt it. So I think it was just ill-timed pocket awareness, man. He just doesn't have it.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we had a guy, Vladimir, I think his last name is Ducasse. He's a guard for Joe Flacco. He was giving up penalties like crazy, and he was, you know, giving away free yards. And I think when that kind of stuff happens, Joe doesn't trust, you know, the people, the offensive line. When even there's one guy out there not doing his job correctly, I think it affects the way the quarterback plays because he's worried about getting hit. I still think Joe's worried about getting hit. And if there's somebody in front of him not doing their job correctly, it's going to affect his play.
Well, of course it will. I mean, Philip Rivers even said it took him almost a whole full year to recover. Tom Brady said the same thing, man, with his ACL. I mean, it's just it's a scary injury, but you're not the same guy. I mean, we can already agree, and we've seen it. RG3 was an awesome talent. Halluti not a hit him. He was never the same. Michael Vick, you know, granted, I know he had some legal issues, but he wasn't the same after his injury either. He lost his pep and his step and quickness, and he got it back later in his career, but too little too late. But these players aren't the same after these injuries, and you're always thinking about it. You plant the what-ifs, the knee brace. It might, obviously, we've seen it hindering by sliding. He's sliding lessons with that brace, but you don't know. I mean, let me and you go out there and run around and try to throw a football with men running at you with a knee brace, see how it works. But, I mean, basically the gist of it is – he's got to take care of the football when it needs to happen. The pocket awareness needs to be there. The awareness not to fumble the ball there. Get down, Carson. This is what's funny, man. You ready for this one? Carson went a rookie on the road in December. Had more pocket awareness than Flacco. I'm calling that out right there because basically Carson Wentz had the audacity end of one of them led to an intense grounding, which was not smart, but he had a couple of ones where he got out of the pocket. There was nothing there. He threw it out of bounds. But Joe Flacco does that on occasion. We don't see it every game. And we can't ask these guys to be perfect. We can't ask Joe Flacco to be smart all the time. We can't ask the defense to stop the run. It's not going to happen. These guys are human. These guys get tired, just like me and you. I mean, we can't always perform an optimal performance. We're going to have our good days and bad days. But my thing is consistency and getting the fundamentals done. I mean, if you do – I've always said this, man. If we play smart, good football and then lose, okay, the better team beat us. But how many losses can we tally this year and last year where we're like, nope, we beat ourselves. If we didn't get that penalty, we would have won. If we'd have made a smarter decision and not kicked the field goal or went for it or whatever, vice versa. How many times have we sit here on the show and picked apart that? It's not like, man, we brought it, but the other team brought it better, man. They were the better team. We either get outsmart ourselves or get too cute and it costs us games. And I hate doing this every week. It's just I just want to line up, play good football, and say, hey, the other team beat us. They were better. But I want to also touch on that the other team better is we were talking this beginning about John Harbaugh. Like you even said in an interview with Foxworth that he's not the smartest guy on the sideline, and he knows that. But you know who is? Bill Belichick. That's the difference there. The coaching tree is Bill Belichick's the smartest guy, and he is the smartest guy on the sidelines. And he outcoached us last Monday. But being flat and honest, and then we outsmart ourselves by just being not on the right side of the field on a Hogan touchdown or not calling the right plays and getting it done. But hindsight's 2020. We already beat the Eagles here, and we're moving on to a big week here, big week in Baltimore, Steeler week, and we'll definitely touch on that. Purple Friday preview, Christmas edition. But it's an important week, man. But at the end of the day, we won this essentially in-season playoff game. Keep our hopes alive in the AFC North titles within our grasp. But man, was it a war? It's an exciting game, but man, do they have to do this every week? It's entertaining, but it sucks at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, having to be on the field for that long, our stars, and having that big week coming up this week, and having the big game on Sunday. We'll talk about that on our Purple Friday preview, but. What a game. What a game on Sunday. But thankfully, like you said, a win is a win. The Ravens come out on top, and that is what we want to see at the end of the day. So, Josh, have we covered everything?
Quoth the Raven, nevermore, man. Let's move on to Steeler Hate Week.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. Plus, we are always posting news, videos, photos. Josh put out a great video this past Saturday before the game doing Facebook Live. So if you are not liking us on Facebook Live, you are missing out on some great content. So go over there, make sure you like us. And guess what, guys? We're getting ready. We are getting ready for our London trip, and it's looking good, guys. No spoilers, nothing like that from us, but it's looking good. Like we're going to be able to hang out with some of you fans in London. But we'll let you know on Facebook when that becomes available. All right, guys, for Christmas, all we ask of you is to please write us an iTunes review, let people know about us, share the show on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Ravens Eagles out the door. Here we go. We're opening up the next one. Ravens Steelers later this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It's been great, man. And you're right. The London trip will come soon, but we got to get to 2016. And we have a playoff run, guys. We got one game down. We got two to go. But really, I'm thinking about one to go because I'm not worried about 17 Cincinnati. All eyes are on this Sunday. It's Christmas weekend. It's going to be an exciting weekend for friends, family, and all, but more importantly, football. But with that being said, whew, we can breathe. We got past the Eagles. We sent them up 95 North with a loss. Wow. Whew. Guys, breathe. It's going to be okay. I know, man. It's just, guys, it's all right. I'm telling you right now, focus is the key right now. Focus has to happen. Definitely going to put out another video, another passionate one this weekend because this is it. We all knew when this game comes down, Ravens Steelers, Christmas Day circled it. The league purposely did this for a reason, and we know why. All the games are going to play on Christmas Eve, but all but two, and we're one of the two on Sunday. And there's a big reason why, because we knew the stakes are going to be even higher than better this year, and we can't wait to get it done. But, guys, we got through the mess in Philly. Thanks for sticking out with us for the season. We appreciate every single one of you. I hate to say it, but the season finale was wonderful. I mean, had some great memories tailgating. The rain held off for us, which was great. We had a windstorm come through. We got breezy in there. It was a great warm tailgate for all those who were down there. It was great. But I tell you what, it was great to see no rain at the game and very little rain, if anything. And let's get to Pittsburgh. Let's get it going. This week, it's going to be a great week. Christmas week. Steeler Heat Week in Baltimore. Thank God we beat the Eagles, but let's focus. All eyes are on Heinz Field. It's going to be a war. We've got them lately. Let's do it again. One more time this year. Let's see if we can sweep them. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.